Hey everybody, welcome to Plot Chat episode 4962. My name's Brennan Hook. I'm the new host of Plot Chat after Matthew Morello has received so many complaints about his hosting skills.
Well, nah.
I am now taking over the duties of this show.
If you believe those people in the YouTube comments, you're just dumb.
I went to HR.
This video will go up on YouTube right after that. Sorry guys, not all y'all are dumb, but some of y'all are.
Yeah. Make sure you tag someone who's dumb in the YouTube comments.
Yeah, if you know anybody that's dumb, tag them in the comments below.
What if they just tag Mr. X?
Oh, I mean, that's all they're going to do.
Yeah, that's all they're going to do. This is okay.
How's your week been?
It's all right. Yeah, you know, I went to D.C. Yeah, D.C. was actually super nice.
Yeah.
The Anthem's an awesome spot.
It really is.
The hotel, the wharf. I mean, everything was dope about it. Outside of some of the games, some of the games
were
crap.
Oh, my God. The games were... So like actually hot garbage. Like I'm not gonna lie,
we're too good.
The Paris Philly was
sick.
Good.
It was good, yeah.
But other than that, I was like watching this and I was thinking,
New York Washington was okay. I enjoyed parts of that. I enjoyed parts of that, and I really enjoyed the meta. So
I mean, I don't know. The Paris Philly match was so close to being terrible as well because the Paris were just dominating in the first half. And I was like, well, it's over. And Hero Pools is just utter randomness. We've now just got chaos everywhere.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, right?
Philly gave us a little bit of the Philly special, right? Of the lose the first two, win the next two.
Imagine though playing Dive on Jungertown first. Like, what goes through these teams' minds? Yeah. I don't get it. It's too big.
It is too big.
It's too big to be playing Dive.
And also, imagine Philadelphia running Dive and just getting their shit pounded by Paris.
And then committing to it again and again.
I mean, there's no reason that anyone should have predicted Philly in this... Paris in this match. After they just got destroyed by Houston and then Philly come out and they make them look like gods on the first two maps.
To be fair, a lot of that is because of the lineup changes. They put in XC and Nosemite and they didn't play Soon and Bembes. Oh boy, Bren is fired up. He has something to say about this.
Yeah. I mean, I just love this by Paris though as well because I think this is evidence of the coaching staff doing very well, right?
No. I would go the opposite way. I would say it's terrible that they actually just overthought things before going into Saturday, and then they were like, okay, maybe you're overthinking it. Maybe we should just let these guys go out.
Where are we drawing the barometer of good coaching and bad coaching? Like, are we saying that good coaching is watching your team lose and then making a change and then watching them win and be like, wow, that was great success?
I think they went into the match against Houston expecting the comp that they were playing to be good, right? The Marissa Bunkers. And they were like, this is how we're going to beat them. Like, maybe they're disrespecting Houston a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But they went into it, and that was their game plan, and it didn't work. And you could see them try to make adjustments after the first two maps, but it wasn't really quite enough. Whereas in this series, they... started playing the Winston Dive a lot more, but they also played the Orisa comps on the maps where it was suitable.
They were playing Winston Dive in the first one. Bembes was on Winston, feeding his little monkey brain.
Speaking to some of like the teams and players there, it seems like kind of with Hero Pools, two different things like spun out of it is where a lot of coaching staffs are like, okay, this is what teams are going to run. Let's practice something to counter that and just play counter comps the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Or... this is what everybody's going to run. Let's mirror it and play
it's actually incredibly difficult. I think a lot of people outside of who aren't players, they underrate how difficult it is to adjust your play style and do like planned out things if you're not accustomed to it as a player. Yeah. It's sort of like, okay, if you look at NFL, right? If you have a running back and the coach is like, run this route. The running back is like, hey, okay, I'm going to run this route. If you're playing Overwatch, there are so many different elements that go into it that you can't really adjust your play style and just be like, oh, I'm an aggressive Reinhardt. I'm going to be a passive Reinhardt now. Like, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. It takes so much time.
You can't rewire your brain.
And that's why Overwatch is harder than being an NFL player.
When I look at coaches overthinking stuff, I'm just like, you're assuming that your players will adapt and conform to your play style and your composition so easily. While in reality, you should probably just let them play their own game and then just like have minor adjustments to their game.
Yep. You all think that they were overthinking it.
I think a lot of coaches, honestly, and I'm borderline flaming here. I think a lot of coaches think they're like, you know, the next Jesus or whatever. Like, and they're like beyond, okay, players listen to me, I know best. When in reality, I think a lot of players actually know better than the coaches. And then it's the coaches who should review the player footage and then fix the minor details or fix the mindset and do the small adjustments.
The
coaches
shouldn't be in control of the team. Like, the coaches should be additive to the team. Put your best players out there.
At
least
watch
the footage, and then just don't like tell people like to change their play style. Just be like, hey, just point out minor things that they could change. Minor situations.
One more thing, because I see you want to talk as well. One more thing. I think that in GOATs the past year, that worked really well. Like, coaches having a big impact on the teams. Like, for Krusty or whoever, like, reviewing and adjusting all the small details and, like, playing perfectly, I think that fit long metas really well, like double shield, goats, etc. Now in hero pools, you cannot expect those perfect adjustments, like, one week to another. And so that's where I'm almost, like, siding a bit more with, like, London Spitfire year one kind of thing, where the coaches have, like, a little bit of impact, but it's mostly the players doing what they feel comfortable with.
But I think the issue with that is, I think you need the coaches to be able to provide insight and analysis on what the best compositions even are to run at the beginning.
True.
Like, when you only have 4 days, you can't just let the players be like, hey, you can't even tell in ranked what the best is.
No.
Right? Yeah. So you can only tell from scrims, and you can only get a proper view of, like, what's good by watching a bunch of different scrims.
Even get that from scrims?
Probably not.
I think this is the issue. They don't have enough time. And Paris probably genuinely thought that the comp they were going into was the best comp at the time.
Yeah.
Until they watched the games of the day and saw all the other teams running a lot more variety, at least. Because they didn't run that much Winston. They may have ran it on the first match.
Yeah.
They didn't, though. They stuck to a lot of Orisa comps, a lot of Orisa mate.
Yeah.
And it was only until this turnaround, when they play against Philly, where they changed things up a little bit. I got to give credit to Fusion as well, actually, because they made very good adjustments at the after map 2 as well.
Yeah.
I felt like Fusion played like shit in the first two maps.
They were so passive.
Yeah. They were not playing a good... They weren't playing, like, I don't want to say instinctual, but they weren't playing, taking the initiative at all.
Yeah.
And they changed that around, and they brought it back to a closer series.
Just to drag it back to the hero, the coaching discussion a little bit, this overtime fight was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
so
it was like 45 minutes.
But even think about a map like Oasis. Like, you know what? You have to figure out what the best comp is to start with. And then you have to figure out how that goes up against other comps that people are running. And then you also have to figure out, like, how you take the first fights on every single map and where the best places are to position. And all of that stuff has to be done in 4 days. Like, the fact that teams are able to play decently at all is an absolute miracle.
A miracle.
In the world of Hero Pools.
Well, I think it's just going to get crazier, right?
It shouldn't do next week, right?
It should go back to what happened in week one.
So maybe we'll see a bit of ping pong in, where it's like, okay, 1 week you have the May McCree kind of stuff, and 1 week you have kind of stuff, and then
it's all
teams slowly learn.
Like, for even saying, if I would have drawn May instead of McCree, who the hell knows, right? Like, I mean,
totally
that's
different.
Where I think the random element comes into play. I think I saw D.Va was like 90% play rate this last week. But then she has the same odds to have gone as Winston or whatnot, Orisa. So it's like, well, maybe like in the future, like as time goes on, like that needs to be weighted a little bit. So like we see significant like change instead of flip flopping, because I think otherwise you could potentially get flip flopping.
What do you guys think about the wider viewpoint, right? From what I've seen across the board, people seem quite happy with hero pools because of the variety we're seeing. I personally really dislike hero pools because I like to see teams play very high level of Overwatch, make minimal mistakes. I like to see the best teams shit stomp the worst teams, and it just drags the bar down.
Here's my take on it. I like hero pools. I'm not exactly completely on board with having everything being played for like a mid-season or a playoffs. Like, I think the system should exist in that capacity. If you're going to use
it... Hold on.
But I would give the power to the teams for playoffs and whatnot. I would allow them to be the ones who remove the heroes.
What? No.
Yeah,
no,
why not?
Absolutely not.
So you would rather it be done by randomness then?
No, I would just allow all heroes.
But then why don't we just allow all heroes all the time then?
Because
we want to create
fun.
If it's up to me,
it's not as fun, it's not as exciting.
But then you're literally telling me the regular season is just for fun, and then just wait for the good stuff for the playoffs.
No, I think it's different though, because I think that when you're playing a meta for months upon end, like we did with GOATS, then you're sort of just fuck. How am I defending this?
You're not.
No, I actually will defend this. I think that it'll the problem poor, is but you no, can do okay. It. So the problem is we need to find a middle ground because I think 1 week turnaround is too short.
Yeah. Yes,
I
definitely.
Think we should
I mean,
do
that is yeah. obvious.
Maybe
we're all,
maybe
we're all
two,
in agreement.
We should maybe yeah. do 2 and 4 weeks, okay?
Four
and
weeks then, is too long, I think.
Then you go, well, it's better than freaking five months or whatever GOATS is.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah,
so
sure.
and then we get to playoffs, and then the idea is not as ludicrous anymore. Because then sort of the same, even though you're not banning heroes in the playoffs, you're still introducing a new meta, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everything is open.
But
yeah.
then
yeah.
but then does it get stale after the
No.
Because the playoffs are just like 4 weeks. So by removing or like allowing all heroes in playoffs, you're sort of doing hero pools, but in a
in
different
reverse,
manner.
Yeah.
But I
but in reverse,
on the hero
yeah.
so
pools.
To back up Johnny here, for playoffs you want there to be like the one thing I hate about hero pools is across the history of the Overwatch League,
yeah.
we have made countless decisions that have gone against competitive integrity of the game, such as putting in 2-2-2 for the last stage and for playoffs, even balance changes coming into playoffs, like radical balance changes, making huge adjustments. And I've been okay with it, but I feel like hero pools, we've crossed the line. So to have it removed in playoffs, I like it because it goes back to a return of like, there will be one comp for playoffs. And playoffs,
but then you're okay with
spice
you're okay with removing
Stop
competitive integrity
me,
for
shit.
28 games, but you're okay, but you're not for.
But also, I think Brent's point is that hero pools, you didn't want it anyway.
Yeah, right, I mean, Brent I didn't want hero pools in the first place, but for playoffs, you've got one consistent meta the entire time. You can see the best teams at that meta, and playoffs never need anything to spice it up anyway.
Yeah,
you didn't need
true.
It to make it exciting.
I just hate a system that exists. It'd be like the NBA had a 3-point shot for the whole season, and then for the playoffs, like, well, for competitive integrity, we're going to make everything worth two.
But
like,
this is so hypocritical. Because tell me you're not like enjoying this more than just seeing the same meta for months upon end, like GOATS. Tell me you're not enjoying.
And that's what I want to see in the playoffs.
I'm actually not, though.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
that
not.
Fundamental premise, I'm not. When I go into the Paris-Philadelphia game and I'm expecting it to be a great battle between two amazing teams,
but it's
and
chaos.
Then actually it's just a coin flip and, like, suddenly Paris is just dominating because
But
Philly
that's where the time
play.
Needs to be adjusted. I don't think hero pools as an idea is flawed. I think the time
But that,
you allow
that time would have still... they would have had exactly the same
and
amount
the time,
of time, 4 days
the
to scrim.
Time.
Well, okay, so then I think...
But
that
it only
the
fixes
teams,
the second week.
The team should be let known of the hero pools removed, or like the hero pools heroes removed, like prior, like 1 or 2 weeks prior
then,
to playing.
I just don't think you can do
you
that.
You give them
though.
More time to practice.
Yeah, but like, aren't they then playing on a different patch? Like their live games would be on a different
patch.
No.
You
right?
can remove them like in a custom lobby. So that would allow teams to practice.
Yeah,
like,
but what if,
lobby.
For argument's sake, though, like Bren's team had 4 games in those 2 weeks and my team had like 1?
Yeah. Well,
and, like, and then you're just like,
well, shit, you know, we haven't
like,
seen any Pacific
not,
teams.
It's just kind of crazy.
We haven't, we've barely seen Pacific teams. Like, shit, you know? Like, are they going to come back and be like, oh, we didn't see the meta where Winston Soldier Tracer was banned. Like
the point,
shit out of luck. Sorry, dude.
The point I was making is that even if you tell the teams a week in advance, if they have games on back-to-back weeks, they still only have
anyway.
4 days
yeah.
of practice on that one patch because
right.
they want to be practicing the heroes that are still in, right?
I still think it's a time issue and it's not like...
And I think 2 weeks is...
An issue of the design.
2 weeks is too long for the live
okay.
game, too.
I'll tell you what my biggest issue is with it. Is it's actually killing almost all storylines about the dominant teams of a period of time.
Yeah.
Because now we've got that last patch, right? Houston Outlaws looked really good because it plays to all of their strengths.
Yeah.
They don't play for 4 more weeks.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Now
that's an incredible
left. So now the next Houston game that's going to come out, we're going to be coming out of our storylines when they're walking out and going to be saying, you know, they had a really good showing in their last match, but probably
I do
not going to happen
though,
this
like,
time.
Yeah. It is 1 week. Like, I think we need to see more teams play with it. Like, at least my hope is that like the bad teams become even worse in hero pools and the good teams become even better. But then I think what you saw from Paris Philly, where you're a little bit alarmed, is like, well, the good teams just kind of play each other in some kind of coin flip type
yeah.
of scenario.
That's the bad part to me. It's
like the
just,
bad teams will get really bad and you'll see blowouts.
Who, if you can't tell how good a team is, then you don't know whether to be excited about a match. You don't know what to expect when you're watching. And you need your expectations set in some way.
Right.
Otherwise, you might as well just be watching any players in the world play.
Yeah.
And like, there's not many heroes with like a carry potential that like... okay, if Widowmaker's in like for a week.
Yeah,
or
I mean Tracer.
Like
Tracer
like,
was fun
Tracer,
to watch.
Tracer was fun to watch,
but the overall like, match, the matches I found to be really boring this week, and it wasn't like if this had been the meta for a couple of weeks, for like maybe a month, then I'd be anticipating matches that were good. I'd be anticipating matchups. There's no anticipation. There's no tension. It's just.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. Super boring. I mean, are you surprised by that? Because I was watching on the couch over there. I was doing the companion stream. Twitch.tv/Bren, by the way.
The first day, Philly Paris was good.
I think that was the second day.
That was the second day first match.
Oh, yeah,
but I was watching, for example, the New York-Washington game, which some of you guys liked. And I was watching this, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, we've seen a better Washington, and we've seen a better New York. And it just felt like they were discovering how to play the comp slowly over the course of the time, because both teams were making mistakes that I would just not even consider. When I think of New York, I think of a very clean team, and what we saw was not a clean team.
I think the most disappointing thing is that you can discard every week as just being like, oh, we weren't good at this.
Every team could just have a built-in excuse, right?
Or a good team just being like, oh, they were just good because of this comp, like Houston Outlaws. Like, we can't actually credit them.
You can't make assessments an analysis about any team, and I know I'm saying that as an analyst, but even a fan can't be like, my team is good right now, my team is bad right now. Yeah. Like, you don't know how to feel as a fan, because
your team could be bad.
Fuck it, your team could be awful this week and great the next week and awful the next week and great for 2 weeks.
You just hope you have more good weeks than horrible weeks, and then just kind of like...
The baseline thing that has always bothered me a little bit about Hero Pools is just that I can't get over the belief that the developer team could have achieved the same thing by more aggressive balancing. Like the good part about Hero Pools is that you get to see different things every week.
Yeah.
And I think that their design philosophy or balance philosophy at the moment of attacking the meta anyway would have achieved that in a measurable period of time.
Well, I think you would have needed a combination of attacking the meta fast and then those patches getting into the Overwatch League fast.
Yeah.
Like not being like a 2 week wait or whatnot. Like let the players like I mean, I guess you need a week to like test out the new balance changes with like the meta and whatnot. But if the players are going home and playing on live anyway, and it's not live, like you may as well just go for it.
No one gets bored of a meta in a month. Like, there's nobody that watches a meta for a month. And
hold on, Custa just made a face.
I mean, tell me a meta that you got bored of within 1 month. I mean, every
the one that
meta
he was
is
on the double shield
for a little while.
Double Shield
in the playoffs wasn't boring. It was exciting as hell
boring.
To see Sinatra punching people.
I think it might have been
subjectively, it was boring.
No.
Because of the playoff aspect.
Yeah, because it was for something,
maybe.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that a more structured regular season format could help some of these issues we're presenting here?
Like,
we got rid of stages this year, and if we adopted Hero Pools to a more structured stage format or something similar, where we split the season into like different parts, would that help us build up storylines?
Right,
I think
like if you had
where it's gonna be like, this team was really good in stage one, and that was one Hero Pool, and then stage two, this other team was really good in that Hero Pool, and then we're fixing the time issue because now we have one Hero Pool for a longer amount of time. Yeah. And you're able to build the storylines by separating by stage rather than not being able to
like if every,
structure and separate parts of the regular season properly.
If every division played like a 3 week tournament that had some kind of winner that had implications going towards playoffs and they kept the same hero pools for the 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and it felt a little bit structured, I think that would be fine. I think the issue is like you have so many regular season games and then so many we're going to see so many different variations of hero pools over those weeks. It's like, who knows?
It's
like,
logistically very difficult to be able to do.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Well.
Sure, yeah. But for example, let's say, we look at CDL and I'm not 100% sure, but I think CDL has a tournament every homestand.
It does, right? Every weekend is two groups of four.
I don't think that would work for us because we have so many homestands. Like, we have so many weekends and like it wouldn't work. But if we instead had some way to award teams like points or like trophies somehow, like every 3 weekends, you would then have a standing that would say, oh, Atlanta Reign, they've won 7 out of 18.
Well, you would just have to have teams play more in their division, right?
And then you could actually have like a standing that like featured a lot of different parts. Like, fuck, it's so hard to explain because I'm just making this shit up as I go.
I can see it, though.
But yeah, I get
then
I
you
get
have
what
a
you're
proper
saying.
Standing that's not like, oh, they got 15 wins and 13 losses. It's like, no, you've actually
one of the things before one of the games that we casted, it was Florida-Toronto, we did like a stats graphic of like team fight win percentage. Mm. And I was like, this is so useless now because we're never going to see them play those. Like, how do you quantify stats? Like, is it now that like, oh, when Winston is the main tank of the week, is this the team's? But then also the other heroes around it change, right? So it plays way differently.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you quantify like team fight data and even like individual like hero stats for certain players? Like, I mean, how do you quantify that?
Down,
like,
to distill it down, the system, I think, could still be salvaged. Just need to remove variability.
Hold on. The system accomplished, you wanted to see different things. That was the basic of the system.
It accomplished that.
But then it's caused other questions.
It's at the integrity of the competitive ballot, like the competitiveness of the league.
Right. So now you remove
more of the variability.
Yes.
And you make it so that, you know, maybe it is longer. That's going to remove it. And you make a couple of adjustments. It could still work.
One last thing. Because Josh mentioned he think instead of hero pools, we could just have more faster balancing. One small thing that I think hero pools help with is that if you just had more faster balancing or whatever, you would sometimes deal with like ridiculous
comps.
Adjustments. No, just like, what if they just put McCree with 250 health, you know, for one patch or whatever?
Right. Yeah,
I think that's a bit ridiculous and kind of like pushed, like... There's a word for that. Like it's force, right? It's literally half of my nickname. But with hero pools, you sort of know what you're getting with the heroes, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I don't really get that, because expectations are like... Hero pools itself is the most force that you could make it, because you're like forcing people to play certain compositions.
Yeah, but it'd be like if you're building with Legos and you're only allowed certain pieces versus like, oh, we're just introducing a new Lego piece and you're like, what the fuck does this do? Because you're changing up the piece itself. You're not changing the pieces you work with.
I can see that.
My God, what an analogy. That I think is I'm a done. Great analogy. I think I'm
what do you hold on, I get back on like Tommy a little bit. What do you think, like, maybe not even for this week in general, but with hero pools early on, after seeing it for a week, which teams do you think overall are gonna net and be like winners of the system, and which teams do you think are gonna be like losers and struggle with the system?
I was gonna say New York, but then they didn't play the May very well, and I was like, Are there actually holes in their armor?
I think every team is going to have holes, right?
Yeah.
Every team is going to struggle from this. But the teams with the best coaching staff system that's set up to recognize, I mean, the grafters, the hardest workers are going to be able to spot. Basically, if you look over the course of the entire season, people are going to be saying to me, well, that's not true because look at Paris. I rate Paris's coaching staff really high. They lost to Houston. But I think over the course of an entire season, if you look at their results, week by week, they'll be performing more consistently than some of the other teams, right? With weaker coaching. But,
consistency is going to win you placement in this season. Like, you don't have to be good all the time. You just have to stay ahead of the pack.
Yes, right.
You have to look at it as like, okay, the season's 20 weeks. We need to have 15 good weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We need to have 14 good weeks, right? 2-0 weeks. As long as you go even in the week, you're good.
And it seems like New York and Philly should be locks to be able to do that. But Philadelphia, I think, have already shown that they are a little bit shaky in that aspect, which is such a weird thing to say. Like, they shouldn't be. There's nothing on paper.
It's like you fall in love with one comp. Yeah. You're just kind of...
Yeah. I think a sleeper pick is Vancouver Titans.
Yeah.
I think they'll adjust well to pretty much all hero pools.
Yeah. Shock as well. You're going to expect to be good, but you're still expecting those teams to lose. Like, there's no possibility of dominance. I mean, if someone is able to be dominant in this league with everything changing all over the place, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
itself is bananas.
It's also like, well, what roles are like the most important now, right? Like, I feel like over the first two seasons, we've talked about like how important like a good main tank is, and then like having like a strong support core. Well, it's like you don't even know like really
my
anymore.
My opinion changed last year with this, and I think there's less on the players themselves and more so
the teamwork.
Just the system that's in place from top to bottom.
Yeah,
like the teams that we've seen who have had consistent success have been the ones with a good support structure in place. Like you look at Gladiators.
I mean, that's not the case with the Titans though.
The Titans are like, I think, an outlier because they just came in. They've got very strong players. They've come in with a lot of experience from contenders.
Yeah.
And they just bopped, right? Yeah, it's the pre-existing synergy. I think they are an outlier. But across the board, I think coaching staff is the thing that I look at now for a team's success over the long course of
I like systems more. So like systems sort of are like coaching staffs and whatever, but just like how teams approach things.
So Vancouver, I mean, that comes into it, right?
Vancouver doesn't have like the greatest coaching staff, but they have a great system where like the players have input and like they shape their play.
That might hurt them with Fisher in the team.
It totally could.
might hurt them.
Yeah. But hey, like the thing with the whole Fisher story that we built up in the beginning of the year is that it will pale in significance compared to the random ebbs and flows of every single week.
Yeah.
Like you won't even be able to tell if this team is imploding or whether it's the meta or what. Yeah. You just don't know.
And even if they are imploding, they're going to blame it on something else.
I mean, if he benches himself, that might be a sign.
Yeah. Yeah. If they end up playing... If they end up drafting Hureg from the Houston coaching staff again to play main tank for them.
I played him twice in ranked yesterday. Went 1-1.
Ryuji Kong returning. Dude, remember season one, dude? We had the Taimu main tank for a bit.
Roshan.
Let's do our predictions this week coming up. You guys are going to Miami. That'll be fun. What are you excited about or know about the city of Miami?
Well, I know that it's the where Pitbull came from.
Yep, Pitbull. Yep.
I actually don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
Did
Mr. Worldwide. Yeah, I believe so.
Mr. Worldwide. I know it's the city that never sleeps.
That's I've heard restaurants are open there until like 4 a.m. So you can just walk into
everything's
a restaurant.
Everything's
open.
Like
I hear that you can walk up to any yacht and there's a law in place where you can buy it for your firstborn child or the law of surprise.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The law of surprise.
I've been there a few times.
Actually,
never heard about that one.
Yeah.
The first match of the weekend may be the best match of the weekend.
Yeah, it should be.
If you have a busy weekend coming up, are you guys casting that one?
Well,
if you guys have a busy weekend coming up, you guys may just have to watch the first match of the whole weekend and then go do your thing.
Sorry,
can I ask
to see the matches again just so I get it in my mind? I was making jokes.
Yeah.
New York, Atlanta, Florida. I think could be pretty good.
Day one is sick.
Yeah, I think day one's pretty good.
Day two.
I'd expect it actually to be...
Day two has some classicos on there.
Day two blows.
Florida, Boston is going to be a good old fashioned slobber.
I think Boston, Florida is called the Bowel Bowl.
The Bowel Bowl.
Florida, I don't think are that bad though.
I think Florida will get a bit of a boost.
Yeah, I think
this week.
I honestly
will be
miss
fine.
Bad Florida. I miss poop Florida.
I mean,
we
didn't discuss with the hero pools, but the bands in place.
Oh yeah,
big buff to Chris.
Yeah, do we want to go over the
buff to Chris?
We
want to
go over the bands. Let's do our predictions first. Right, let's do predictions first. So for New York, Atlanta,
huge band to Chris.
Guys went with Atlanta?
Yeah.
What?
Why did you go with Atlanta?
Where are you seeing this?
I'm seeing this down at the bottom.
Oh, that's how it works.
Our beautiful graphic there that has the predictions.
I thought it would unveil like on Watch Point, you know, every person.
Let me tell you, I wasn't particularly impressed with New York.
Okay.
I think they excel when they're playing these comfort roles, but I haven't been particularly impressed with them even when they were playing the Ryan Diva comps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was watching them play against London and other teams, and it was a bit of a struggle.
They lost to Paris, right?
Right? They lost to Paris.
No, sorry, Philadelphia. They lost to Philadelphia.
I think people are still overrating New York a little bit when it comes to where they place them in their minds.
You can't argue with the individual skill of New York Excelsior. I just don't think they have played well. Well, they've played decent as a team, but I don't think they've been up to their normal levels.
New York's also a team that never blows people out. They always win like 3-1,
We used to know them as like the dominant fucking juggernaut.
They won series, but they would drop maps all the time.
No, I don't think so.
Atlanta is another team I also think people are overrating.
Yes.
But I expect them to be able to...
I think they're going to come out as Chads.
I'm expecting Atlanta to improve more over the course of the time, where less than I would expect New York.
All right, we are going to be watching, probably, May McCree, Reinhardt, Diva.
Yep.
Right? We're going to be going back to that meta. Atlanta looked... Who in that meta when they played against Paris? That game against Paris, their tank line got railroaded.
Well, I think that was mostly Paris playing well.
Okay.
I think New York lost so aggressive. There's no way New York plays as aggressive as Paris did in that series.
No, I don't think so. I think that's also true.
I don't think New York are as good as Paris, just in general. Right
No, well, when it comes to the previous meta that we were seeing with May McCree.
That we were expecting.
I agree. I think that these are both like a tier below your Paris and your Philadelphias of the world when it comes to like the previous meta.
The May McCree stuff,
But Atlanta's tanks just couldn't do it. Yeah. They just couldn't hold up.
I also
give me my boy Mono,
want to
dog.
Sort of believe that Hawk had like some nerves in that
series.
He
looked a lot better
because he looked a lot better this past week. Yeah, and you know, can you play like that against?
I mean, they played against the
liberal
corpse of the
Boston
Uprising.
I mean, I think another point for Atlanta actually is that with Lucio banned, you can't play as aggressive into them. And instead, it will favor their like bunker kind of style.
I think that hurts Animo a lot, actually.
Bro, yeah, I think it does as well, actually. And I mean, indirectly as well, we've just buffed the Baby Bay Torbjorn. So, they love to play that little cheesy shit. And like one of the best counters to cheesy shit is playing at a faster tempo.
Yeah.
Hey, New York. While we might not actually see Reinhardt
without
Lucio.
Let's
like,
take a look at
just
second,
be so slow.
The second match of the weekend. Which will be well,
go next.
Well,
next.
This one I was a little bit more tolerant.
Oh, no, shut the fuck up.
Why?
F off.
Because Philly, you put Philly in the same tier as Paris.
When it comes to the old meta, yes, Philly were unbeaten, 5-0, were slapping people around.
Spin this for London for me, please.
Who's a good team that they played against?
They played New York. They beat New York.
And I don't really rate New York that much. I actually
do you rate New York lower than London? London
we already
got bullied by New York.
Yeah,
I think it's a matter of time before London start really shaping up as a team. You got Glister, who will be performing pretty well. Yes, he's up against Carpe, but Overwatch
is
in a
1v1
game, right?
Honestly.
It's about equal. Yeah. But I think London will actually steadily improve over the course of the season. Philadelphia? I don't know. I still predicted them, right? I still expect them to be the favorites. But I think this could be a close game. I would give it to be probably 60-40.
Hey, right, anything well, could be a close game in Hero Pulse. Yeah. The upsets will happen all the time.
Brent doing a little fan service for the people of London. Ah, poor Florida. They're going to get...
Even
they're
with Chris
get,
on Brig, like this is their meta,
get,
dude.
They're going to get fucking poop.
Actually deserves to be mentioned, FD God Brig.
FD God's Brig did not look good. And FD God will be getting a hard nerf by the fact that Lucio isn't in. So I do actually see this match being a little bit closer. I think this match is going to be closer than the previous one.
Yeah, it'll be closer than
New York,
London-Philly.
Yeah, London-Philly.
This will be closer than that.
I've already given my arguments as to why I think Paris are a really good team.
Sure.
Throughout this entire podcast. I expect the reasons to carry over. X is back on McCree.
It actually really hurts Paris' aggression as well with Lucio Ban.
Yeah,
because they were
does.
The most aggressive team.
Yeah, Hanbin and FD God were so aggressive. FD God can no longer play Lucio. Mayhem have been playing the Anna Brick the entire time. They know how it works. I think this could be a close game. I'm not predicting the upset, but I think it could be close.
I might do it on air.
Anytime. Yeah, I mean, you'll say anything on air. You'll do anything.
It's better to say something than nothing on air, man.
Well, you know, some people can't say anything because everybody else is talking over them. Anyway, well, we can go to the next day where the matches. So Washington Justice, I don't feel great about either of these teams.
I
just had to pick one, and I felt better about the Justice.
I feel way better about Justice, though. Toronto were really relying as well on a lot of Winston comps when they played against teams, and Winston's now banned, and they didn't look that great when they had to play the Ryan Diva. This, I'm expecting to be actually a bit of a roll.
Can I make a request to Bud Pachimori to just make like a montage of main support players playing Brig this weekend? I just want to see Brig
Brent, tell us why London could be in this one.
Same reasons they could be in the Philly match, I think.
Because who the fuck knows?
I think it's a team that's steadily going to improve over the course of the season. They got a lot of green players with experience. They're only going to get better. They have a lot of raw talent on this team. I'll tell you what, though, London are also being nerfed with the Lucio ban because Sanguinar was...
Sanguinar
has been... He's been getting the environment kills.
Josh forgot what team Sanguinar played
boops.
For. He was like, wait, hold on. It just woke him up inside. He's like, wait, what? Like a guy called Sanguinar.
Bro,
I was like, dude, of all the things that you could talk about,
Sanguinar. It's a huge Sanguinar nerf this week. Oh, my Lord.
Bro.
All right. Let's see who gets to... I was going to say, let's see who gets to beat Florida, but then I forgot they were playing against Boston.
Yeah.
Bro, Boston, I mean, I feel so bad. Like those guys.
Right, Boston have had their one
trying,
win of the season.
They're trying.
I went on a fucking tirade when I was on that casting couch over there.
Yeah.
Not against the players, because I think they've got some talented players. Not against the staff, because I've spoken to some of the staff, and they are quite intelligent.
Yeah.
But against the fucking way this team is just being built, where they're just buying these high-risk, high-reward players... Budget players with the intention of just trading them off or selling them, and they have no fucking. It feels like this team has no intention to win.
Well, you when you watch like a team play, and like I've been a fan of New York. I'm done with Boston. I've been
bro.
A fan of New York sports for
I'm
a while,
fucking
and, we,
done with
and
them.
We suck a lot of the times.
I'm done with Boston.
As long as you're close, like you can still be a fan, right?
Shut
like
the
as
fuck
long
up,
as you're
dude.
Putting I, up a fight, they're it, not even putting up
a
fight. It's like they're just.
If I was a Boston fan, I'd be calling for fucking for the rich to be eaten. The top of this chain needs to be dragged down.
I tell you,
seriously.
I casted
like
I casted
hell.
The Boston game the first day when we were in Washington, and we're by the caster thing, and I'm just like looking at the crowd, and there's this one guy in a Boston jersey, and he was just it was like maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, East Coast. He was like just he was done, he was wasted. He's like Jerry's gonna pop off, Jerry's gonna pop. And then like after halftime, he just kind of like looked at me. He's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I was like, you are the Boston uprising.
Yeah.
I was like, you're consistently drinking throughout your match to the point that you just get so pissed. You're just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Just don't play Sigma this weekend. Okay?
Yeah.
Just don't play Sigma.
Why the hell did they play Sigma?
Can you come up with any meta, though, that Boston Uprising isn't the worst team in the league at?
If, I think they need... Colhex can play only Farah in their matches.
Like, and, but then Jerry most likely can't play hit scan because you'd have like a hit scan Gara
Widow.
They would low key be good in double shield. Like Fusion, Sarisa... Move in Sigma, Jerry McCree,
Doom,
Colorex.
So,
yeah,
what would
Colorex Doom? Frick it, I'm shipping
it. Like, I think they're really hurt by just not having like the depth in terms of
they
like,
have two
DPS
players.
I know it's kind of ridiculous.
Yep. So, I mean, this is
one main tank.
Listen, if Boston fans, I'm telling you, bro, rise up. Drag them down because they don't have the backups for the team. Like every other team has DPS backups. You need flexibility.
I say, hey, Boston,
like pick up some players for fucking gods. If I have to cast a Boston game again, I'm done.
Yeah,
well,
you're you're 3 hours from New York. You're a few hours from Toronto. Just be a fan of them.
Boston's the kind of team that's just jogging along at the back of the marathon in like a funny costume, and they're just waiting for people to pass out.
No, it's like when the school brings up the class to like a freaking track or whatever, and they're like, oh, go at your own tempo. Boston is like walking in the back. They're like, oh no, we're not gonna run, we're not gonna jog, we're gonna
the
walk.
Only people they'll overtake are the people that pass out from heat exhaustion, and they just rob them on the way.
I don't mean to say this to imply that the players aren't trying or the coaching staff aren't trying, but it feels like the org has not been trying for the past 2 years.
It's tough because everybody else has been pretty competitive this year.
Yep.
Like they've taken maps, they've taken games, right? It's just been a tough start for them. Hopefully, and I would say like hopefully you're able to turn around, but with the way the season is, there's not really like an opportunity to have a break or like, you know, being able to like regroup. It's really hard this year to kind of
bring
it back together, but hopefully we see some better stuff from Boston. Brent is very upset. I believe he actually refused to commentate on their games.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
They are just begging for some meta that nerfs Boston in week 10 when they have that rematch. Otherwise, where does their next win come from? Like a meta that Mayhem are terrible at? Meta that Justice is terrible at?
Can't wait to see the Brent cast Dixerto article.
Look, we still haven't seen a bunch of teams play, so who knows? We can go into power rankings. Coming out.
Okay, here
does
we
anything
go.
Significantly change?
Yes.
Did Philly go down and then does
so this
Paris
is, but
go?
This is,
Paris can't go up.
This is the week
above.
6 rankings, right?
Yeah.
So this is for next week where we would place the teams based on the patch. Outlaws, I don't think, changed despite the fact that they look good.
Oh, that's...
Because how tragic is this?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, does
it?
Like,
change?
Outlaws should go up. Like, Outlaws should be a middle of the pack, maybe trying to get
if
into the top half.
If this was a week 5
team.
Rankings, if this was, you know, we're looking at this through the 2020 hindsight goggles, Outlaws should be a middle of the pack team. But they don't change because the meta's probably going to be returning to what they were shit at.
I don't want to do these.
Like, how tragic is this, though?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Would you say Philly not goes down below Shock, like after...
Yes,
yeah.
I would say so.
And then would you move...
It's hard, we haven't
the
seen
Shock that
in
hasn't
while.
Played since like week one.
Yeah, I know. Like, but then what do you do with Paris and what do you do with like Atlanta?
Do you guys want
to
take out the week 1 teams out of our power rankings?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's put the Shock, the Titans...
Dallas.
Gladiators,
Dallas.
Yeah,
above those other teams though, because we haven't even seen them at all.
Yeah, they're better than those teams because we've actually seen them. But
Dallas as well. Who else was it? Valiant
and Gladiators.
Valiant Gladiators.
Valiant played.
Gladiators. Yep.
Valiant play. Did Valiant play week 3?
Oh, all right. No. This is sort of a sad list.
So there we go. That's our list for now.
Okay. Yeah.
Philly, I still believe, is the number one team out of this list.
Probably. Wait, let's. Oh no. Well, yeah. Let's order it anyway. Let's put the Gladiators above Dallas and Valiant above Dallas as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So at least we've got
some semblance of structure. But then if you're going to do that, then do it for the Pacific East teams as well.
Put Shanghai number one.
We haven't seen them at all.
Okay, right. Well, ignore that then.
Yeah, go on then. Let's put Shanghai number
one. Shanghai number one, Seoul number two.
No, Seoul number one.
No, get out of here. Get out of one, dude.
We haven't seen them. Guangzhou.
Well, I even put Hangzhou above.
This is so dumb.
Hangzhou above Guangzhou.
Chengdu.
This is so low quality.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
For Pacific East, I would agree.
So grasping at straws.
Okay. Look at that. We're so smart. We've done power rankings for teams we know nothing about.
let's get to the meat of this.
I would put
Paris at number one right now.
Okay, wait there. I think a fairer way of doing this, moving forwards, is to do the power rankings generally for hero pools. Instead of specifying that it's for a particular meta.
You can't do it for the week.
Yeah, because like doing it for a week,
it's not power rankings.
Well, I mean, it is.
It's predictions. It's predictions on a big fucking board.
Yeah.
So who do I think the strongest team will be next week with the meta?
No, not next week.
Who's been the strongest up until this point?
Generally in hero pools, who do you think are the strongest teams?
I would put my top four out of those teams, and I think it's quite easy. It's Philly, Paris, New York, Atlanta. Mm. I'd probably put Philly number one, New York number two. I have the hardest time with Atlanta and Paris. I probably leave them in that order.
I like Atlanta more than Paris.
You're kidding me.
What?
Are you kidding me?
No, long term, I think that makes
sense. Long term, I put Paris at one.
Oh, okay, what in the fuck are you smoking? Okay.
Are you joking?
These guys got crushed 3-0 by the Outlaws.
Somebody, they came out this game.
Episode where Bren had Paris as his number one team going into Hero the future Bulls, of the league.
Right? They're going to get the new additions later on. They're going to get Sparkling, adds a bit more flexibility to their DPS with their week right now.
Late May.
Yes, it's later on, right? But still, we literally said consistency is the name of the game of Hero Pools. And I cannot think of a more consistent team for Hero Pools.
Than a team that went 1-1 over the course of a season.
Brian is the Boston Uprising of takes,
Because the Houston Outlaws lucked into metas where they could play their strongest roles.
No, it's not just that they look. So
they lost the Houston Outlaws, right?
It's not just that they looked into it. They weren't playing their strongest roles. Blase was on the fucking Soldier 76, right? So this argument that Houston only just looked into what everyone was best at, they looked into a style that they were good at, sure, but they identified the meta really early on. They put Blase on Soldier 76 where he's not good, and they still outperformed Paris. Paris didn't pick the right meta. Let me get
a clarification here. So you believe that the Paris Eternal would be representing the Atlantic in the finals?
We haven't seen a lot of the other teams play since week one in the Atlantic.
We've seen all of the Atlantic teams. You think at the end of the season, the Paris best Atlantic Eternal team is the Paris Eternal?
Yes.
The worst part about this segment is that Brent is going to be right.
Yes.
Like,
yes, I do. Okay.
It's always funny. I've tried to put up my justification for this,
but we're talking about hero pools over the course of the entirety of the season.
I respect it. I think Paris
will be the most consistent team because they played. I would say the Houston Outlaws were probably the strongest team that weekend. I think they were the strongest team that weekend, but don't put them at number one. Listen, because this is for next week, and I expect Houston Outlaws to be very poor consistently over the course of the whole season.
Yes.
But Paris, I think, when they play, if they have a bad start in week one and they have a game next week, I expect them to make the necessary adjustments to get a win the next day.
I just cannot see them being better than Philly, New York, or Atlanta long term.
I think it's very close between Philly and Paris. But I think people are overrating New York. I think people are slightly overrating Atlanta. I would put New York at four and Atlanta at three. And I would keep it at here.
I mean, I don't mind the Atlanta-New York discussion. I think that's kind of up in the air.
Well, it's
the big contention is Paris.
Okay. Yeah. Because this is my opinion. You guys say your piece.
Philly lost by one map. It wasn't like they got blown out.
They almost got blown out, but they came back.
Let's make this easy for ourselves. Let's compare Philadelphia and Paris member by member.
Here's the thing.
Best Sado,
like
Fury Poco versus Hanbin, Exi versus Carpe,
But I think the argument is that Paris is going to outperform their pieces, right?
Yes.
Alarm, hoop, funny Astro.
FD God.
I mean, credit where credit's due, though. The Paris Eternal players, the one that were on that team last year, have made drastic improvements.
They have.
Yeah, they right? have. Yeah.
So,
but on specific roles, like Ben Best, Reinhardt is still, by the look of it, still the only hero that he's great at.
I'm not upset if you move Philly to number one, but for my personal rankings, I have no problem
with Paris at number two, number three, number four. I have an issue with them at number one.
Here's my hot take.
Okay, let's see how hard it is.
Atlanta and New York, even though they don't look as good, I think we'll be more consistent than both Fusion and Paris over the course of the year. Fusion are quite a streaky team, and they play down to their opponents.
5-0.
But in the course of their Overwatch League history with a lot of these players, they've been very streaky.
Oh, my goodness.
And this week when they came up against Paris, they were certainly off to a very bad start. Here's the thing. I don't think that the Paris Eternal is going to be able to be great in every meta. I think they're very much an our meta kind of team in terms of what we saw from them at the beginning of the year. And they managed to make an adjustment this week, but I don't know if they could do that every single week.
I do not enjoy seeing Atlanta 1 or 2 because, in my mind, they looked kind of streaky so far this season. Without a doubt, they have great talent.
You thought they were streaky?
Yeah, but there's still question marks. Like, okay, Hawk, you had one good game. Pokepone main tank compared to
tanks. Pokepone's been all right.
I would put
few question marks.
I'm saying.
Is there a team? Though?
I would say three, the team that I feel about the best out of those four long term is New York.
No.
Because I've seen them be consistent over multiple metas, over multiple years. They've always been good.
They have. They've always been good. They've always been good. I mean, that is not a statement that you can disagree with.
They've always been good.
Right.
But when patch changes came out last year, they were always one of the last good teams to adapt. Like, when we considered the best of the best last year, it was the Titans and Shock. And New York were always trying to clamber up into that top three. And they never really deserved to be a great team.
They're the
best of the teams. Like, Titans and Shock were not ranking right now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
New York are the best of
the teams
I
can rank.
Just put Philadelphia number one.
People are going to have issues with me disliking New York, but I don't think they've looked.
And I would put Paris above Atlanta for now because I just want to see more from Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's just trying to, they have so many new pieces from last year and whatnot. Yeah. I want to see them
weeks. This is a great top four.
The top four, I'm already in disagreement with.
Yeah, we know.
Let's just slam a tier break in and go ham.
Drag one of these tier. You can just drag the tier break, but I like that system.
Boston definitely the bottom.
Yes, Boston are at the bottom.
Toronto probably
team.
A little bit above them.
Yeah, because Toronto don't look good.
I'm gonna say I think Washington's better than Florida, and I don't know why. And it may be stupid even say that.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I think just from watching them, either. I'm not too I think they may either. Be better.
Florida's only played one style. This entire year, they've only played one style.
Yeah, and beyond the May.
They've never even tried to diversify. No. And to be fair, you could say a little bit about the Atlanta Reign in that sense as well. They've only really played Bunker. They haven't shown us anything else.
I thought Aim God was really sick this week.
Get Atlanta back up. Houston, though, is the tough one.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
is Houston better than Florida?
Yes.
I would say so. Are they better than Washington?
I don't know, dude.
Are they better than Washington?
Are you fucking on crack?
I want Josh to push them all the way.
So when they play the divey kind of style, they are legitimately one of the best teams that we've seen so far at that divey kind of style. When they play Blase on the Doom, when they, like, Dante on Tracer clapped Soon in that game against Paris. Yes.
Dante's very
legit. But the problem with Houston is they have to play the comps that they're comfortable with, otherwise they are dog shit.
Yeah.
So how do you rank a team like that consistently?
They're not good at Ryan comps.
Yeah, they're not good at Ryan comps. So with Winston banned, like, that just hard counters Houston.
But they're not.
But they don't play. But future, though, when Winston does get banned, they'll have issues.
I don't know where to put them.
If you didn't see any of those teams play, right? I guess just rank their roster from top to bottom.
Oh, their roster is poo-poo tier, though. Like, the thing about the Outlaws is that they perform better than their roster.
Right.
Well, their roster isn't poo-poo
their
tier.
Their roster's not poo compared to the rest of those teams in there.
It has fundamental flaws in it, I think. It's not poo-poo tier across the board, but it has fundamental flaws.
Johnny, what about your boys on Toronto?
Are we getting stuck in the weeds here?
Yeah,
I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Why? What's the weeds?
I mean,
I think everything's sorted apart from the Outlaws.
I think it's
it?
Honestly so hard to tell that it's almost like sort of pointless.
Well, look,
I think like okay, number 13 or 14.
No, when we have when we have 10 teams we can't rank, we gotta at least rank the bottom five of the other five. We're just ranking the same five teams.
Just seeing London that high just makes me question my existence. But
yeah,
I don't know why they're
how they end up there. Yeah.
I think they should be there.
They probably are the strongest out of those.
I think here's my argument for the Houston Outlaws.
Okay.
Is that in the one thing of hero pulls we saw so far, they immediately discovered the best meta to play and executed on it despite the fact that certain players were uncomfortable and played it very, very well.
What happens if D.Va got banned for a week for them?
Mecco's shown that he's all right at Sigma. He's been able to play Zarya and Roadhog in the past to a reasonable level.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'd be amazing at like a Ryan Zarya or Orisa.
Free for that
Orisa
week?
Sigma might actually be okay for them.
Yeah.
Orisa compositions they should be okay at. I think you have to give Outlaws the benefit over the Justice at least, and probably London. Like I think you have to put Outlaws at the top of the pack for now, like until they continue to shit the bed in the future.
Mooma may be the best main tank out of those main tanks on the five teams.
Oh my god, what a hot take that is.
Why have you put Outlaws above London?
Well, why would they not be? I know they're 1 and 5.
Yeah.
No, 2 and 5 now?
2 and 5.
Yep.
2 and 5. But the Houston Outlaws are going to benefit so much from hero pulls, I think, as long as Winston
and they have
isn't
off
banned.
Till week 9. So they have a lot of time to just kind of work on some shit.
I'm not on board.
Yeah, I'm not on board.
I don't know. I don't think they're better than one.
I don't think
it's so hard to judge these teams.
Yeah, I would put them below Washington.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, I think Outlaws exist somewhere between there and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And it's unknowable, honestly, because it all comes down to whether or not they actually continue to adapt to hero pools. Really
and
well
I think
the
they
future.
Could be better than Washington.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if they faced up last week, they would have beaten Washington and London.
Probably. I think they were the best team that weekend, Houston.
Nah. I think Houston would have matched up poorly against Atlanta.
I think they were the best team that weekend.
I think it was pretty much their most optimal meta, though, and I don't think we'll see Houston that good in a long time.
I don't know whether it was the optimal meta. They, you know, like a Blase Doomfist kind of thing, like they were playing before, I think was even better for them.
I'm just saying, I think there will be a lot of weeks until we see Houston playing.
That sounds like a good argument, except when I say that to myself, my brain replies with, you can play Dive most weeks.
So you're saying I'm dumber than you?
Yes.
I'm saying that the counter argument to that is, a lot of weeks, I think you'll be able to get away with playing Dive.
No,
just because it works across a variety of different places.
There are a lot of players I respect on Houston Outlaws, but not all of them.
So
I'd rather see Washington and London above.
Let's talk about the experimental card changes that happen.
Hold on. 1 second.
Yeah, what do you
want to
do? What do you want to do? Oh, God.
I just want to move the second tier. So can you move one of the other tier breaks in between Shock and Boston?
Oh, yeah. Put three tier breaks between those.
Because what I've been noticing is these power rankings get posted on social media and the plebeians just assume that we have rated Shock below Boston.
Put more tier breaks
in. We need more.
Yeah,
like
put them all in.
All of them.
No. That's
there we go. That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Kurt's a genius.
We have 3 power rankings in one.
Yep.
Ta-da.
We did it. Right? Yep.
I don't agree with the Shanghai Soul.
We changed the game. Well, I mean, look, I'm not arguing that because who the fuck knows? The experimental card changes. Let's talk about that stuff. These are like, so I guess what they're going to start doing is like almost using the experimental card like to change like minor PTR like changes.
I love that. I think that's great because PTR was never accessible for console as well. Experimental card is, so you get the console
and I think it's just more of like you don't get anything for it, right?
Kitty
hello,
cat. Hey, cat.
Hello. I'm allergic to cats.
I'm allergic to cats as well.
Please don't put the cats in there.
Bye-bye.
See you, Aria.
You go now.
Yep.
You go now.
Bye.
Okay.
See ya. Bye-bye.
That's the most interesting part of the podcast.
Last week we had Jake as a special guest. Yeah. This week we have Aria.
The experimental card playlist. We can take a look at some of the changes. So Bob is now immune to being slept, so he can actually be used.
I was having this discussion last night with a couple of just casual Overwatch fans that were at a bar.
Yeah.
They were just saying they hate playing Ash because Bob is just shite.
Yeah.
He really is just shite.
We saw him used by the Florida Mayhem this weekend. He just ran up on the high ground on Blizzard World and then stopped and got slept instantly.
I still don't think this helps.
What if it worked as like a pet in so many other games, like World of Warcraft, League of Legends, whatever, that Bob just followed Ash around wherever he walked?
I think
it could shoot while walking.
But I think that takes away the cool part of him being able to like contest objectives.
Yeah, and run behind people like that.
That takes away the thing about him that's really bad, that he just charges in alone on a point and just stands there.
Well, now that he can't be slept, it's perfect.
It actually does have a big difference, though. I think that like Bob being slept just actually killed the ultimate completely. Yeah. At least now you have to kill him or run away from him.
Or move around him.
No, because I think
he can be killed very easily as well.
Yeah, he can be killed super easily.
So I'm not the most experienced Ash player in the world, but I can imagine that for people who are like below diamond, it's actually quite hard to land Bob in like a good area, like to launch him into a good position where he actually does a lot of stuff. Because normally,
are we saying the people below diamond can't aim at a direction and hit Q?
Yeah.
No, you're such a fucking straw man. Yeah. I'm fucking this dude. Like I think bad players, they're just like enemy team, Bob.
Yeah.
And then he ends up on the fucking other side of the point and he's just shooting a wall.
A lot of people they panic.
Maybe I have more faith
Ash
in people that play Overwatch.
I've watched some low level streams and when
I look
play
at you,
Ash,
I don't have faith in you, man.
my Ash is fine.
Bob gets sent in and Bob is either running off the map or he's underneath a ledge and he's not shooting at anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool if he followed Bob Ash around. It's like a bodyguard kind
Batiste
of thing.
Gets two buffs.
Infernal,
in
that is questionable to me.
But
I think Batiste is in a very good position.
I think he's
it seems like it's personal buffs.
Yeah.
To him when he's already very good.
I like it because it makes him feel more active. I do think he's a bit too strong, but I do like that reduced cooldowns make him feel like a more active hero.
I think
like a healing cannon that just stands like boop,
I think
boop, boop.
This is fine as long as it also comes with some problem or some nerf to the immortality field.
Immortality.
Yeah. Immortality field has always been the biggest problem with Batiste, and that's one of the...
Yeah,
like,
I've suggested in the past reduced AoE for the immortality field or just reduced health.
Yeah, I think that it needs to fundamentally be changed, in my opinion. Like, the idea that you can hide immortality field around a corner or behind an object and you just can stay in the area with the entirety of your team is bullshit. Yes. Like, it's a really, really bad...
Or something like if you, like the immortality field like just sucks up a base amount of damage and then as soon as it's done,
like if you do damage to the people in it,
exactly.
It damages the thing.
Damages
like,
the,
yeah,
the
something
field.
Like that.
That'd be cool.
Boosters, the D.Va gets increased from 3 to 4 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
That's a direct reverse.
No. That's the cooldown. That's not the flying time.
No, but that was the
that
buff.
Was
the
buff.
Yeah,
they
cooldown. The cooldown was changed from 4 to 3.
Mm. Kitty cat.
Aria.
Come on.
Oh, it's literally front seat.
she wants to hustle your cat.
Aria.
Okay.
We can get back into the changes.
Okay.
Now she's just got a
cat.
We've acquired a cat.
Brandon is allergic.
Yeah.
We're both learning.
Aria's like, what the hell? You guys don't want me?
Don't knock that off the table. Get out of here, Aria.
Okay.
May, Icewall, the cooldown increased from 10 to 13 seconds. Thank the Lord.
I quite like that change.
What if you
just
deleted that ability?
Icewall. Just
reduce
the
health.
Yeah,
what if you just remove the ability?
Like, it's like at least make it penetrable.
No, because that is the identity of May. They wanted a character that could change the geometry. The map. They wanted to change a character that could have an impact in that way.
Yeah.
But I think a cooldown change achieves it. Oh no! Now the cat's behind a TV.
What is he gonna do behind a TV, bro?
Pull out a cable.
I like this change. I think that Ice Wall is a great ability to have in the game because it allows a certain style of play. Like, it's a whole style of play that Mei allows. The problem is when Mei is just bonkers powerful and there's nothing you can do against her, and that comes down to a bunch of her other abilities as well, like the fact that she has just a get out of jail free card with her freeze that not only makes her invulnerable but also heals her back up.
Orisa's primary fire gets a 1 point of damage more. Sigma, the gravitic flux, so the cost is reduced by 10%, and then he's faster in the air by 30%.
I like this.
I think that's a fine change because his ult took a, especially after his damage reduction, his ult obviously takes longer to charge up. So
I think that's
to keep it in line with keeping it consistent where it was previously.
And his ult can
and his
now
ult
be
was always like I'm a target in the sky. Yeah. Right. Please focus.
And
me.
It can now be cancelled, which previously it couldn't be, yeah, right? Yeah. So, or it couldn't be as before.
Helix rocket cooldown from 8 to 6. I think that's pretty, this is pretty good for the legs.
This is interesting and significant, I think, because people are going to look at this and think it's not a significant change, but that's a 25% decrease in cooldown.
Yeah.
Going from 8 to 6.
And so it's the kind of thing that you want to just use on cooldown.
Right. And it's going to increase his damage output a lot if you can aim them.
Last one, though, I feel like is the biggest change.
Why would you buff Sombra? And I just literally, I don't understand
the
this.
Only real big difference between like her and Tracer's flankers is like Sombra just can't like finish players off as like quickly and bursty as Tracer can. But now that she's like, what? Her gun's like 50 bullets to the clip or 60 bullets?
I look at Sombra.
Like now her spread decreases by 10%.
I think they're making
like
this change for the lower levels of play. Because Sombra,
she's hard to kill people with.
Yeah, well, Sombra is just like inherently a weaker DPS, but her strength is basically entirely in her kit and hacks. Yeah,
coordinated team
play, which doesn't exist at lower levels. So they're increasing her individual capabilities to make her.
That's why
more
she's always been difficult to balance, because like when she's powerful in team play and like higher ranked, kind of like Owl. And even like on the ladder, she has actually one of the worst win rates overall because she's so team oriented.
It's okay to have heroes that are bad at lower levels of play and better at higher levels of play.
Every
it's
other
okay.
game has this.
It's okay to have that. You don't need to try and keep everything at a perfect 50% win rate at all levels of skill. Right. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then our second go at it. Everybody was so happy the last time we did this. It's a segment we can end the show on.
Segment?
Every time it's sponsored by Bren, it's Bren's Player of the Week. What is this?
Bren's Player of the Week.
Is that it?
Player of the Week. Yeah. So
were you supposed to be green screened to look
to
like something?
To do something, yeah.
We don't really know what we're going to do with it. I will say this. A lot of people are going to be comment a lot of gachi bases. I had to make my bulge look very unthreatening. So, you know, there was a lot of tucking action going on.
I would go the opposite direction. I would just throw down socks in there. I just expand. Bren.
Dude, no, actually, I got many requests to sponsor Bren's segment of the week.
Oh, my God.
I got like 5 different people DM'd me and said, hey, I can only offer you like a painting or a sub.
We should sell it to random people.
The idea is the green screen will be keyed in, I think, with the sponsor.
Ah, genius. Genius.
The sponsor will be on my body.
So and for this week it's you. So you were on your own body then.
This year, my player of the week. This week, my player of the week is the Paris Eternals coaching staff.
Goes completely away from player of the week, but
9K Rush, Aid.
Which one is who's
Levi?
That?
That's 9K.
That's 9K. That's 9K. But I want to give credit to them. I think they've done a phenomenal job in a meta that, you know, where, you know, Xyz comfort heroes kind of got taken out a little bit. I think they did a great job of getting a turnaround from one day to the next with very little time to adjust.
Can we play that clip again? I like Sideshow's reactions when he's doing the interviews. They're just nodding his head like over and over again.
I think the Paris Eternals coaching staff have done really well this week. And I think that this
They're not a player.
I am so disappointed.
They lost. I mean, they failed. Like, they failed to find a meta that was appropriate and fielded Ben Best on Winston.
Yep. And what I'd say to that is, apples and oranges, Josh. The Outlaws, I think, were the best team that weekend. And
that's so hard to tell when you're playing against Ben Best on Winston and
looking at the
Nico
team
on Sombra
that played that weekend. I would say the Outlaws were the best. But Paris,
that's possible.
I quite like that. I just like the adjustments they made, and that screams to me that they are a team that recognize what they did wrong. Whereas there's probably 10 teams in this league that would have just done the exact same shit next day.
Yeah,
I am so.
But you could have like celebrated one of the players on the team,
like Xyz.
Xyz, who popped
Xyz was
off
so
on
good.
Hanzo or something.
Bro,
yeah.
No one talks about a coaching staff. The point about my player of the week is I highlight the niche sections of the Overwatch
players.
League that no one else
players,
wants to look at. Everyone talks about the players, bro.
Right,
but
Bren,
listen.
If you ask me what my favorite food is, I can't say beer.
But I mean, it could be considered a type of food.
So a coach is a type of player.
But no, but like when I say player, I mean, this is just my favorite thing of the week.
Oh, Bren's favorite thing of the week. Bren's player of the week.
But it's not as sexy as player of the week.
Let me throw this hypothesis at you, Bren, because I think this is probably went down in the Paris thing. They think that Sombra Trace is the best. They don't want to field No Smite because Ben Best's always been with the team. They field the roster. They shit the bed. They lose to Houston. They go, all right, players, just do your own thing.
Yep. Is that not a good example of good coaching?
That is an example of removing the coaching.
To remove your own hubris, your own arrogance of assuming that you have the best idea.
Paris Eternal number one, Brennan Hook.
But we cannot deny that Paris have looked way better from last year to this year on an individual basis. The improvements have been there. And my question mark was, how are they going to be able to coach during like this hero pool turnaround? And I think they proved that they have what it takes to recognize what their mistakes are. And I don't think they're going to be making the same mistakes as they did in the first day against Houston in the future.
That's an interesting hypothesis.
This is why I think Paris were number one out of the teams that we've seen so far. I think they deserve to be my player of the week. So do you know what? Paris Eternal coaching staff, Rush, 9K, Levi, Aid, well done.
Well, what do you have to say about the Boston Uprising?
Just piss off. Like, genuinely piss off. Like, seriously.